Greetings and blessings, beloved friends. This week's Torah reading, Parshat Vayera, begins with Avraham having a vision of the divine. Vayera elav Hashem be'ilone Mamre, and the divine appeared to him in the plains of Mamre, v'hu yoshev petach ha'ohel kachom hayom, and he was sitting in the opening of his tent in the heat of the day. It then goes on that there are these three mysterious beings that we later come to understand as angels that come and pay Avraham a visit. Avraham runs from his tent to greet them, invites them to stay a while, to wash their feet, and to eat a meal. The angels then tell Avraham and Sarah that they'll have a son, even though Sarah is already 90 years old. And after this, the angels leave and head down toward the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. God appears again to Avraham and tells him that the cities are about to be destroyed because of the wicked people that live there. Avraham pleads with God not to destroy them, arguing that there might be some good people among the wicked, and that it would be unfair to destroy the innocent along with the guilty. So one interesting thing about this passage is that there seems to be a confounding of the characters. At first it says God appears to Avraham, Vayera elav Hashem, but then it says Vayisa enav Vayar, and he raised his eyes and saw, and hine, check it out, Shlosha anashim itzavim alav, three men were standing over him. So first it says that God appears, and then it says that Avraham looked and saw three men. It's as if God is now appearing as the three men. Then later in the story, it describes the same men saying, Vayavou shene hamalachim Sodoma, the two angels came to Sodom. Now they're two, before they were three. Furthermore, before they were described as anashim, as men. And in between these two bookends, the text moves fluidly back and forth between saying what the men, or the angels, are saying and doing, and what God is saying and doing, as if the angels and God are interchangeable. You can check out the passage in Genesis chapter 18 and 19 to see what I'm talking about. So this kind of ambiguity in the text is so gorgeous because it comes to highlight the opening phrase, Vayera elav Hashem, and the divine appeared to him. This is, of course, the whole point of the mystical path, to perceive beyond the surface of things through to divine reality. And what is divine reality? Hu Eloheinu Ein Od, existence is the divine and there is nothing else. And Hashem Echad, the divine is one, meaning not that there is only one God, but that there is only God as the one reality. So to perceive the divine doesn't mean perceiving something in addition to everything else that you're already perceiving, as many folks imagine. When we begin the spiritual journey, it's common to think that God is something different from what you normally perceive, like some kind of Mount Sinai experience. But while such experiences do happen, perceiving the divine for the most part means to uncover the divine nature of everything that you're already perceiving. And since the divine nature is Hashem Echad, divine oneness, this means you have to learn how to relax the natural tendency of the mind to frame things as separate. Not to erase separateness altogether, that would render you unable to function as a human being, God forbid, but to balance the separateness with the perception that everything arising right now in your field of awareness is part of one experience, one reality. And how do you do that? V'hu yoshev petach ha'ohel kachom hayom, and he was sitting in the opening of the tent in the heat of the day. So what is a tent? It's just a barrier that defines your personal space. There's this vast world just outside, but you put this flimsy material around you, call it a tent, and you have some sense of separateness from the rest of the world. Just like our egos. There's this vast reality, and we are in no way separate from that reality, but we tend to identify with our bodies, with our personalities, our personal stories, and so on, and call that me. That's the ego. That's the tent. But rather than shutting himself up inside the tent, he yoshev petach ha'ohel, he sits in the opening of the tent. In other words, there's still a tent, there's still a sense of me, but he sits in the petach, in the opening, so that there's also a sense that the space within the tent and the space outside the tent are one thing, they're one space. Meaning, be aware that everything arising in your experience in this moment, both your perception of things outside your tent, meaning outside of your body, and things in your tent, such as your emotions and your thoughts, all of those things are all arising in the one space that is your awareness. You can still think of this tiny corner of your awareness that encompasses your body and your heart and your mind as me, but the entirety of your experience, even your perception of the stars millions of light years away, are all arising in the one space that is your field of awareness, and that's actually the deepest you, that formless, borderless field of awareness, totally free. But to really do that, you have to consciously invite everything within your experience to exist, even if it's unpleasant. That's the key, because when you resist certain aspects of your experience, that's the equivalent of shutting the flap on your tent so that there's no more petach, there's no more opening. That's why Avraham is seen as the embodiment of hospitality, just as in the story, when he runs to greet his guests and gives them food. He sits in the opening of his tent, and whatever happens to come by, he invites in. That's why it says, Vayera Elav Hashem, and the divine appeared to him. Because when you consciously invite everything to be just as it is, then you sit in the open space between separateness and oneness. And you can sense that everything is a manifestation of the one thing. First it appears as three men, then as two angels. It doesn't matter because everything are forms of the one. And this brings us to a kind of paradox, because when it's revealed to Avraham that God is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he argues with God. He tries to change the course of what's happening. So on one hand, he invites everything to be as it is, but on the other, he's arguing and trying to change it for the sake of compassion. And this is really the supreme non-dual spiritual teaching. When we talk about acceptance, about inviting everything to be as it is, our minds tend to go in the direction of passivity. But this creates a false duality, because if we really invite everything to be as it is, that includes our own desire for things to be different. So on the one hand, we accept reality as it is, but on the other, reality includes our own desire to change things. Reality is dynamic, it's alive, and it's always in motion. The distinction is that when we are hospitable to reality as it arises, inviting things to be as they are, rather than resisting how things are, then we can work for change from a spirit of love and openness, rather than from judgment and anger. This is hinted at in the opening words, V'hu Yoshev Petach Ha'ohel Kechom Hayom, and he was sitting in the opening of his tent in the heat of the day. So the word for the day is Hayom, which can also be translated today. In other words, right now. The word for heat, Chom, can also mean warmth. So in this sense, Chom Hayom could mean the warmth of presence. So if you want to pierce through the separateness of things to the underlying divine unity, open your heart to this moment. Warmly invite reality to be as it is, and then when you act to change things, do it from a place of inviting change rather than forcing. Even in those rare times when you do have to force something, you can still do it from a place of love rather than resistance and anger. Just like when you abruptly grab a child away from the danger of a precipice or an oncoming car. Externally, there might be a violent forcing quality, but of course you're not angry at the child, you just have to act swiftly and effectively. If you have the right kavanah, the right attitude that arises from presence rather than resistance, then your action toward change will flow from the oneness, and it will be an expression of the oneness even when there's conflict. That's why Avraham can argue with God, and yet the argument itself is an expression of God, because Avraham is arguing that God should be more compassionate. And yet elsewhere in the Torah, Moses calls God El Rachum Vechanun Erech Apayim, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger. Last week we chanted some words that come from the first blessing before the Shema. The words were Or Chadash Ta'ir, shine a new light, pointing to that quality of fresh aliveness that emerges when you're present. Now let's look at some words from the second blessing of the Shema, V'ha'er Einenu B'Toratecha, V'dabek Libenu B'Mitzvotecha, enlighten our eyes in your Torah, attach our hearts to your mitzvot. The two pieces of this phrase express the paradox we explored earlier. V'ha'er Einenu B'Toratecha, enlighten our eyes in your Torah, meaning open us to see the oneness of everything, to see everything as an expression of the divine. This is expressed in the hospitality of Avraham and Sarah and hinted at by the words we looked at earlier, Vayisa Einav Vayar, and he raised his eyes and he saw. Avraham sits in the opening of his tent, a master of hospitality, and so he is able to see Vayar, the divine, in everything. This is also the root of the name of the Parsha, Vayera. But the second part says, V'dabek libenu b'mitzvotecha, attach our hearts to your mitzvot. So mitzvot are commandments. So what are the commandments? They are actions we take to bring more kindness into the world. So externally, reality can manifest as chaos and suffering. But as reality becomes conscious through us, we are commanded, in a sense, to manifest compassion so that the divine qualities of Rachum V'chanun Erech Apayim, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, reveals itself through us. So as we chant V'ha'er Einenu, enlighten our eyes, relax into a passive acceptance of all that is. So you can open your hands, palms up, to express this attitude. And then when we chant V'dabek Libenu, attach our hearts, invoke within yourself the feeling of wanting to bring light into the world, of wanting to bring relief from suffering and help bring more love into the world. And so for this, you can bring your hands together into prayer pose, palms together in front of your heart. So V'ha'er Einenu, acceptance of all that arises, palms open. Then V'dabek Libenu, may I do kindness in the world, in my relationships with everyone I meet. Palms together. So let's sing. Yeah. and coming into meditation, bringing your right hand to your heart. Vidabek libenu, attaching to your heart, bringing awareness to your heart, and offering your presence in hospitality, inviting everything to be just as it is, with the word lecha for you, bringing in. Lecha. And bringing left hand to your belly, drawing awareness down into your body. Bedabek libenu b'mitzvotecha, attaching your heart, that is your openness of presence, to your body. I'm reading mitzvah not in this sense as commandment so much, but as tzavta, the Aramaic word which means connection. So connecting awareness with your body, drawing down into your belly and into your legs and feet. Feeling your breathing, the movement of your diaphragm and your lungs and your chest. Feeling down into your shoulders and arms and hands and fingers. And feeling your face and skull and brain saturated with presence. And affirming your ever-returning, ever-deeper awareness in the body with na'aseh, we will do, breathing in. Na'aseh. And bringing right hand to touch your forehead. Veha'er einenu, enlighten our eyes. Betoratecha, in your teaching. And what is the teaching? The teaching is that everything arises within this open space. Everything is part of one experience. And your awareness is this space, taking the form of everything you perceive and yet infinitely beyond and transcendent of everything you perceive, totally free. And we'll chant Vinishma, we will hear, breathing in. Vinishma. And chanting together Atahu. You are it. Now is the divine. Atahu. 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 Keeping Atahu vibrating in your mind, remembering to keep presence in your body with your breathing, awareness of the space around you and the inner space within which everything is arising. Atahu, Atahu. And when you notice yourself being captured by a thought, you simply let it go and bring yourself back to Atahu, back to presence. And we'll sit for 7 minutes. And closing once again with the three portals, bringing your right hand to your heart. Vedabek libenu, attaching yourself, attaching your awareness to your heart center, embodying the hospitality of presence by inviting everything to be just as it is with Lecha, breathing in. Lecha. And bringing left hand to your belly, Vedabek libenu b'mitzvotecha, attaching your heart to the mitzvah of your body. Your body is the instrument of action. And affirming with Naaseh, breathing in. Naaseh. Bringing right hand to your forehead, Veha'er inenu b'toratecha, becoming enlightened with the teaching of oneness and the perception that all arises within this one moment, within this one experience. Vinishma, breathing in. Vinishma. Atahu. Have a blessed day, have a blessed week. Until next time, remember to put in some time every day for meditation and for just being present and contemplating with these words. All blessings to you.